what do you do?
And your pin drop. Forget about that pin.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Lapine Public Works Committee, Tuesday, May 14th meeting, and we'll have roll call. Jim?
Jim Fleming.
Douglas Ward.
Linda Johnston.
Bill Saunders.
Arlo Ferdy.
Thank you. We have a quorum, and Arlo, would you be kind enough to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
You bet. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, has everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I make a motion we accept the minutes.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved. We've had a suggestion that we, our first item to cover will be a presentation from ODOT, an update.
Yes. Do I need to speak in the microphone there? Oh.
Just wherever you're comfortable.
Okay.
Go
yes.
ahead.
Good morning. My name is Mike Darling. I'm with ODOT. I'm the project leader of a project which is called US 97 at First Street in Lapine. And the purpose of this is, thank you again also for allowing me to jump in and get in first. I actually have to be back in Bend at 10 o'clock for an important meeting on this project. We're looking at design acceptance, which is a huge milestone in this project. But I just want to give you an update of kind of where we're at, that this is a project, we're moving forward, give you some timelines and that kind of thing, if that would be good. And I do have kind of a generic handout, if I could just hand that out to a few folks. So when I wave my arm, you get a pretty good idea of what I'm looking at.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You said Mike Darling?
Darling, yes. So this is a project. Let me go ahead and sit down. This is a project, and what that means is we actually have a project team together. We're not just waving arms. We have a project team. We have road designers, right-of-way folks, you know, the ARCI folks, all the folks necessary to make this thing happen. The project consists of essentially realigning the intersection because of the skewed. We're going to be adding sidewalk, crossings, and a signal. We do have funding. We're still working on some of the funding pieces. We have some interaction right now with the Deschutes County, and there's a bill that is actually going through the legislature and process that will allow the county to help contribute some finances to this project. We also have been chasing some sidewalk money, and that's why we're able to do additional sidewalk completion on this project. Because initially, we didn't have enough money to complete all the sidewalk infrastructure from junction of 97 all the way to Huntington. This is a project. We were going to go to construction, or called bid let, in November of 2014. We realized that this is a very important project for operations and safety. There's a McDonald's on one side and a high school on the other of the highway. So this is pretty important that we provide a safe way for pedestrians to cross this busy intersection. And operationally, as that industrial park continues to grow, that signalized intersection is going to facilitate those turning movements and help the truck traffic. So it's an important piece of you know, your community. So we originally went to go to bid and in November of 2014, which meant we wouldn't really start construction until the spring of 2015, given the winter. Given this, the nature of this, we're basically able to accelerate it, so we're going to be going to bid in May of 2014, which will give us a summer-fall construction of next year. Now, we won't be able to have this done and completed by start of the school year, but it'll be a construction zone. There will be orange cones, barrels, there'll be construction activities, which will help slow down traffic. So that'll be a good thing. Even though the signal won't be in by the time school year starts, construction will be occurring. The profile of what we're doing along 97 is going to be similar to that of of what was in the corridor plan, which basically shows property type, good morning, Rick, which shows property type sidewalks, 8-foot sidewalk along 97, pathway sidewalk, and then a swale, and then curb and bike lane, traffic lane. The sidewalks were going to be constructed on First Street to complete that, you know, from this intersection of First and 97 West are going to be, again, property tight as much as possible to get the pedestrians away from the roadway. And again, we're able to, you know, chase some sidewalk monies and actually complete that infrastructure of the sidewalk, so that way it'd be a continuous pedestrian access along First Street to the intersection of 97, and then complete the sidewalk infrastructure from the intersection south to just outside of Erickson's. I believe it's Erickson's there, just south of that VMS sign. So again, this is a project. We're actually at a pretty significant milestone right now, which is called design acceptance, which determines the footprint. And next week we're going to meet with right-of-way and start looking at, okay, how much right-of-way do we need, construction easements, you know, those kind of things. So this is a pretty important milestone for where we're at in the project right now. So a big part of my talk this morning was just to give you a heads up that this is real, this is a project, we're moving forward, funding is coming together, we are going to be putting a signal at this intersection. So that's one thing, is to give you an update on this. And the other is to start rolling this out to stakeholders and various groups. We met a couple weeks ago with the Deschutes Bicycle Alliance and let them know about the project and what we're doing, and we want to continue to roll this out to stakeholders, to the public. So we're asking your help too. There are some folks that we need to meet with. Obviously we're going to meet with City Council in a workshop session and then in a formal session, kind of let them know what's going on. We're looking at an open house sometime this summer or fall, again, give folks those kind of, you know, ideas. We're also going to be meeting one-on-one with all the stakeholders, property owners, stakeholders, businesses in that area. We're going to be kind of dividing up the folks and then trying to chase them down and meet them one-on-one, give them the public information paper and let them know what's happening about the project. We're a big thing of what we're not doing on this project is access management. What that means is we're not going to be closing any driveways. We're not going there. This is the purpose of this project is operations and safety. And the current business's access is on First Street and on 97. We're leaving them in touch. We're obviously, the approach is on First Street that we're constructing sidewalks across. We have to reconstruct the approach, but we're not. That is not a point of this project.
Well, there would be none that would really be affected anyways, or?
Probably not. I mean, you know, one could look at, there's an access on First Street. But again, anytime we do work on a city or county right-of-way, we utilize their access management rules, and we're going to mirror what you want. So there's really nothing there. One question came was if we started to work on the right side of 97, there is an approach at the complex there where the subway is at, some other things. That's kind of a can of worms. So we're not touching that for right now in this project. We're leaving that, kicking that can down the road and leaving that for another day, because that's kind of complicated. There's some work to be done with the property owner and the businesses on that. So that's one reason we're not doing
access anything. Off First Street to subway, though.
I'm sorry?
They already have access to Reed Road to the subway. So I don't think that should be a big issue.
I think that what he was saying maybe is not. It's too close to the intersection.
No, it has to do with what they're permitted. That whole property is permitted, from my understanding. They're permitted one access, non-commercial. And there's been some development over time, and obviously have commercial. So it's there's some things that have to be worked out over time, obviously. So where it's not, you know, we're not going to go there right now as far as trying to deal with that. It's a longer term issue that ODOT district needs to work with the property owners and the business owners for, you know, solution that's going to work. So but anyway, so it is a project, we're moving ahead, we are putting a signal in there, funding is coming together, and I'm open to any questions that you may have. Or
what is the approximate completion time for this?
They will have to be done with asphalt paving by end of September 2014, and they'll have to be done construction December 2014. So next year.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
This is an old map, isn't it?
The aerial photograph is older, yeah.
Looks like it's really old.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about that Reed, where it says Reed Road, about that property? They had a for sale sign on there a couple weeks ago, and now it's down. I'm just curious.
No, I haven't. To the northeast, is that you're referring to?
Yeah, right there on the northeast corner, there was a for sale sign. 2 weeks ago, it was up for about a week. Now it's down. My question was, if that is a business, wouldn't they have to alter the egress into it from
is
that road?
Is that public land? Is that BLM? What is that, Winter?
There's it's privately owned between the district boundary with the city now, yeah. And that's private. There's a realtor that's talked to me a couple times.
Yeah, he had to sign up for a while. It's down now.
I don't know, same realtor, but there is a guy, there's somebody that wants to buy that. Of course, you know, they realtors and talk, that's...
You know any good realtors?
Oh yeah, but they're all the same.
I...
My line with realtors is, and I'm actually a licensed broker, so I can
teach. Yes, I know,
so
we can talk.
That, is it long-term planning for a realtor is 5 o'clock tonight's closing. Short-term planning is by noon. I don't know what's going to go on. But when you do, you know, like it won't. That driveway isn't going to line up right. You're saying all this stuff would have to get worked out on the Reeves where that access comes on to.
Yeah.
You know, plotted out and planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, we want to encourage development of that industrial area to the east there, and that'll be conversations again with.
Yeah.
Development, the property owner, ODOT, the city, the county, etc.
Well, I think that's extremely good news, Mike.
Yes.
It is, and we're glad to have you come down anytime you can, and we appreciate ODOT very much, and really good about keeping us updated and informed. All of your departments have.
Thank you.
So you're welcome here anytime.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah.
More walking ways, Bill.
Is the state responsible for putting in that sidewalk along 97? Where it is along here in the blue?
We're putting it in as part of this project. Yes. I don't know about responsible. We are putting it in as part of this project. And actually, I didn't bring it with me, but in the next STIP application for the next STIP cycle, there's actually a proposal to do a bunch of sidewalk work, some sidewalk infilling work on 97. And actually, the piece of it shown on there that is on here, which is basically from that US 97 piece and the piece on First Street, we're doing now. So we're kind of getting like I said, we've been able to chase some sidewalk funds, and our mentality is once you start doing sidewalk work, if access management right away doesn't become an issue, try to do as much sidewalk as you can because it's cheap. Mm-hmm. Once you have a sidewalk contractor out there, he can just rock and roll and just you know, it's a cheap thing to do, and it has huge benefits. Obviously, when sidewalk comes curb, comes gutter, comes storm drain, what do you do with the stormwater? So there's other things to think about, but again, if you have an opportunity to do it, we do it. So we are putting that in.
We're all for
that. Yeah. And we are working on an IGA right now, intergovernmental agreement, or actually it's a cooperative intergovernmental agreement, and I'll be forwarding that to you shortly, Rick, for purview and see that, which basically is a three-way that kind of describes, okay, the transfer of money from Deschutes County to us, and also the sidewalk construction after the sidewalks are done, you know, who maintains what and that sort of thing, and there'll be an actual very similar diagram to this that'll show that. So.
Yeah, I haven't talked to these guys about the discussions we've had about making sure it matches the corridor and understand.
Yep.
Did you talk about it?
I did. I mentioned that at the beginning,
yeah.
That 97, that will match.
That's
yeah.
A big deal, and we'll go once later on other sidewalks we're talking about, but you know, we need to make sure that, because this is going to, what we're going to do out here and what you're down there is your template for the town,
right?
Because everything else is in the middle. And first thing when I got onto this was that I saw the price quotes and some. I've seen some of the little cross section drawings that these guys were putting out, and they weren't including necessarily some of the things that that need to be included. And there was kind of some look down at ODOT as they had, to be honest, hadn't really gotten that far yet. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, they were still in the initial stages of, okay, we got the money, now we're going to go with this. And
yeah.
And so the right hand needed to talk to the left hand because it's, again, it's different color money, different, it was doing different things. We have a project team, this was very different. So that was a good thing to do to kind of
soon get enough, us. Yeah. But for us to remember, yeah. In and it's the, you know, these things have to be connected. In other words, we're going to, we spent, actually, Liggy Group spent $70,000 on the corridor plan, which says what, you know, in Kittleson, I mean, they had meetings and hearings and did all this, and this is what it's supposed to look like, and this is for safety, for
right.
pedestrians, for traffic flow. Well, then the first drawings I saw and estimates for this and for that lack any of that. But it was early, so, and again, it's a little bit this side, not necessarily. And what first caught my real attention was the plan, the corridor plan calls for 8-foot sidewalks, and then I saw both of these were having 6-foot sidewalks. And because when they did their cost estimates, you start looking, because there were some cost estimates, you start looking, and so then that piqued my interest as to how much was anyone looking at the plan that is now nice on a shelf that's a year old. Spent $70,000, and you know,
right,
and that. But remember, that means, and that's when you get into your street light, trees, and all of it, the bioswale where you're putting it, and so on. And so, I've had a couple different rounds of meetings with probably about 8 of them down there in Bend with different things,
right,
and so that's been my theme. And one thing about it, in order to get people's attention, you got to kind of keep staying on track. And we have to get into who's doing what part of it, and who's, and obviously that's going to mean the city, for sure, we're going to be maintaining it. So when we put in bushes or grass, we mow it, and just all of those things are part of it. So today, later, I think we'll be I want to talk to you about it. A lot of times we've been coming up with stuff, but maybe all the stuff that goes with it that maybe either didn't get discussed, got lost in the discussion, or whatever.
Right.
So, but they're all, now I think they're all pretty well, you know, they'll be incorporating all of this.
Yep, yep, yep.
You've got a pretty long run of sidewalks on First Street and on the west side of 97. Are you putting in bioswales for the stormwater runoff
there? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got enough room on the right of way there in 97 to put an 8-foot sidewalk, and then pretty
big swell. Are these going to be fenced, or are they going to be unfenced?
Unfenced. This is a very gentle slope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
just nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of your visual interest.
I like that better than the fenced ones, personally. But
yeah. No, we'll have some fun with it, actually, trying to figure out what all we want there.
And that's a huge part for me. And that's good that you bring that up, Rick, because ODOT is very much concerned about the ground surface down, you know, maintaining the integrity of the roadway and the storm drainage, all that. That vertical landscape from the surface up, that's really up to the communities, you know. And anytime you start doing something new like this, it's like, what do you want this to look like? And then who's going to take care of it? ODOT is real good laying down asphalt. We don't do very good watering trees. So there's a, you know, so that's a good discussion to have is, right now, I've got to get the footprint. I'm focused on footprint. I got to determine footprint so I can get right away going, because that takes about 12 to 13 months. But now's the good time to start having the discussions. Okay, what do you want there? Just grass, or do you want tree? What do you want that area to look like? Then start maybe designing, start chasing dollars. You know, have these conversations with the city. If there is enough dollars, do we put the infrastructure in now so you can build up later? Those are the kind of discussions
when you start. If you having. Sleeve it, make sure that you sleeve it so you can run an irrigation line and
right.
a power line. If you you know all of
right.
that,
right.
and put that conduit in underneath the curb and the sidewalks and things, so that you can then shove it through.
Right.
You don't go out a year later and you're jackhammering
up. And
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It'd be cheap to do it now,
yeah.
putting
yeah,
in that infrastructure, you know, the sleeving, that sort of thing. But again, that's a conversation as a community that you guys need to start having is, what do you want to do with this now? You know, what, and then who's going to keep, who's going to maintain it, so.
The little triangle on the northeast corner there, is that a concrete island?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's a pedestrian refuge. Yep.
With delineators on it?
Yes, yeah. That'll come off and on wintertime, so.
Okay.
You know, same thing on that that southwest corner. There's a
there's
a little pedestian refuge there too.
The reason I'm asking about delineators is if we get snow and it covers that up, it becomes a safety problem for the vehicular traffic as well as the pedestrian traffic.
And really, it's not if but when. It's, you know, kind of sort of snowball. But yeah, absolutely, there'll be delineators, and there's certain ones that ODOT uses along that highway, and they use them the same place, and they go in, they go out. So.
Okay.
Any other questions I can answer?
Looks good.
Good. All right.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you very much for an opportunity to talk with you all. Thanks for bumping me into the first session, so I can come back and get to another meeting. So, and if you have other questions, you can direct them to me. Brooke's got my email, and I'm glad to talk. So,
good.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Contract awarding for Cagle Acres project. So are you going to report? No?
Can we interview our candidate for the commission first? Because he has to leave early.
Oh!
And that's my fault. I took Thursday and Friday off, and I ran the last minute and got a hold of him.
You had a day off?
I took days off.
So that's Russ? Russell?
That's me. Russ.
Come on up and talk to us, Russ.
Hello again. What you need to know.
You're an innie. You're inside the city
yes,
limits.
Yes, I am.
Yes, good.
The last house in the city limits before BLM, but I'm still here. So.
Good.
Yep. Questions, answers?
Have you had any experience with Public Works?
No, I have not. Not directly under the government type thing. I've worked in utilities, electricity, and stuff like that, never in public works organization. I've never done any kind of government work at all, so, except for Uncle Sam's call.
Pay your taxes and...
Well, yeah. We spent 2 years together for a while, so...
I like this problem solving.
That's what I did for a living.
So. Talent to have.
Your question is, as a resident of Cagle, which I am also, I live down on Pine Drive, what's your opinion as a resident of what we're doing with the roads up there in the spring and fall maintenance and the snow plowing in the winter? What's your, as a homeowner, what do you think, how we're doing?
In general, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, it's almost impossible to keep those roads nice and pretty. It is impossible. I mean, the cost in order to do that, you'd have to put down macadam or something. And that's craziness. I don't think it's economically smart at this point. They have been doing a fairly good job. We are very fortunate, I know, because we've got a guy there with a tractor and he does our road. And actually, we get a little nervous whenever we see the big machines come in because we've got our road nice. But so far they've done very well. And you know, Schedule and Kegel are both bad roads. I mean, but they get an awful lot of traffic. Could there be more? Yeah, probably.
Well, there we've had a number of complaints from the people who live to the north of Kegel when Mike goes through and does the snow. Because he has no place to put it. There's no place to spread it out, and that hasn't worked real well. But then on the other side, there's no place to put it.
I know that they tried to make a ditch there on Kegel, and that really has caused more problems than I think it helped. you've got to push that ditch back further. Because right now, two big trucks coming down there and somebody's going in the ditch, especially during the winter. And once I get in there, it's going to be a problem. But before it ever became a city down there, you know, I have a Subaru, and I used to chuckle every time I went out and I watched all the four-wheel drive pickups over in the ditch, and they couldn't get out. So, you know, we've only stuck the Subaru one time, my wife did. That was a nasty road. I mean, we all know that. But it's 100 times better right
than
now
than what it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You just plain didn't go out when it started snowing bad. So, anyway.
I just got back and started working here again. This is for a vacancy on this.
Yes.
And they have to be in any inside the city limits.
This is an inn.
This is an inn. We've got innies and outs.
Right. And we're short one.
You're right.
How are you in understanding and being able to balance? I asked this as when I interviewed county commission candidates, and I was in other places. When somebody comes from a particular area, the people assume, and others would assume, that you only care about that area. The city of Lapine is a lot more than Cape. We have $70,000, $80,000 of ODOT is what they give us a year. If we spent 100% of our money on the roads and cable subdivision for the next 10 years, we wouldn't spend a dime anywhere else. Are you able to balance that and understand that just because you live in cable, there's other interests?
Let me put it this way. One of the reasons why I have to leave early today is because I do Meals on Wheels. I cover most of Lapine every week. So yeah, I know what Kegel is nothing in comparison with some of the places out here, so. And the rest of Lapine in general has to be cleaned up a lot more. Kegel is still a little residential area out there. I mean, it's not the center of the city. So, you know, I mean, I have no problems. That's why I said, yes, I could see where it'd be really nice to have a whole bunch more. That's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to put that kind of money in there. I mean, it just isn't worth it. So, we all have, people who live there have got to learn that, you know, you aren't in New York City now. You know what I mean? Or California, wherever you come from. We have dirt roads, they're probably going to be there for a while, you know. That's part of Lapine. If you don't like what Lapine has, there's Sun River, there's Bend, there are a lot of other places out there. Other Even choice. Christmas Valley, you know.
Other choices to be had.
There are other choices. Lapine's unique, you know.
That's a good answer. And I certainly agree with you on the ditches, and the roads got a little narrow there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By making the ditches narrow.
Well, it's... There's some good parts and bad parts to it. The main problem is that there just isn't enough room. We've got to push those things back further. And I don't know where we get on property lines on that.
Well, we got lots of right of way.
And we cut the trees down. So now it's a matter of taking out some of those stumps there and really pushing it back, I think. And that's going to be a major project. That's not a quick daily run through. So.
Well, that's a labor-intensive project that's going to come down the road somewhere.
It's got to, someday.
Yeah, because if you're going to change that road, you've got minimum standards you got to go by, and you're going to have to follow those, and at the time, you're going to have to realize there's going to be money spent on that.
And on top of that, there are now culverts for driveways and things like that. So, I mean, you know, you have to get a balance in there someplace.
You kind of have a automatic bioswale drainage system.
Yeah, you can say that. You know, we're way ahead of our time.
Well, Okay. Thank you so much, Russell. Okay. We really appreciate you applying for this position.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
If it, well, I mean, is this your, how many applicants did you have? Oh, well, if you like him, you could just, if you want him, you could
take him to an acclimation.
Okay.
Take
him. Russell, you want to wait just a minute?
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
Well?
Yeah.
So make a motion and second.
I'll make a motion to accept Russ as a counsel.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Russ? You can't stay today. You got to go do your meals and wings.
I've gotten out of there half an hour.
Go
ahead.
Well, welcome to the board.
That's scary. You guys welcome.
See what happens when you raise your hand? See what happens when you raise your hand?
Yeah, be easy on him now.
It's my first stake.
Yes.
This is what you get.
Whose position do you think?
Was it
Ed?
No, it was the gentleman from a long time ago.
Yeah,
he was an original.
Right.
Audi. Or any.
Right.
Oh, it was Ed. It was Ed from Huntington.
Yeah, because the other guy was an Audi like me.
Good. All right. Now, who's going to report for the Cagle Acres projects? Is that you, Rick?
We just want to let you know that we did sign. I should have signed, but we approved them, and actually I signed it. So anyway, the road maintenance agreement for, so Vic Russell, since you know Vic Russell, got that. And he will be doing that for 3 years.
So that's snow plowing?
No,
and
no.
Oh, no?
It's spring and fall grading?
This is the spring, yeah. It's twice a year grading.
Are we talking about Cagle?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
that's right. It says Cagle.
Yeah, so that'll, but Vic got that and was a hair less than Lapine Equipment.
Okay.
On that particular thing. So we actually have him for 3 years. There'll be some consistency there then. And we, one of the things Scott wanted to put in is kind of a preseason meeting every year.
And we're actually going to do that this afternoon. They went out and graded 3 weeks ago,
about a month ago,
and they just did a portion of the roads in there. And so we're going to meet on why they only did a portion of the roads in there.
Did they admit they only did a portion?
Yeah, he said somebody was, he got complaints that the roads were bad, so took it upon themselves to go out and grade a portion of them. But we have a contract to blade all the roads once in the spring. So there was no authorization for the extra work. It was partial work. So somewhere we have to need to iron this part out. And then going forward, we'll have them, so they're contacting us prior to doing the work.
Good.
So we know when they're coming to town. And we can do, and then also an inspection before they get payment.
I have two questions. Is there any dust abatement going in out there at all? Okay, so do we have a minimum spec that we do on this road, these roads?
We have.
Because I don't want something going on out there like goes on in my road district where the person that does the grading does the specking.
We have a little bit of, I guess you would call it specifications in the contract.
It's got the amount of crown and the slope and
grade and compact the roads.
Because that should be a county minimum spec as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think those, we are not maintaining those to county specs would be my guess.
Why not?
Oh, because they've never been, they've never been brought up to a county standard. No. You can't maintain it to the county until you build it to the county. Because they require, just everything is wider, the borrow pit would be bigger. You know, all of it, and so it's kind of hard to have to do it. So I would say, are we aren't.
Okay.
Then
I disagree with you, but because there are standards for roads of certain widths, and where I'm at, the outfit that does that grading, I have an 8 to 12 inch crown on that road, on the road I live on, and that is far excessive from county specs. For a 22-foot wide road.
Yeah.
So that's just something I think you ought to consider for the future.
Yeah, this is.
So you got a 3-year contract and it's signed, you're bound there. So.
Yeah, we can change things, but I think it's something we'll have to to look at to figure out. I mean,
but it gives us some time that we can create our own set of specifications for how we want roads constructed to and maintained to.
Because I got the specs from George Call, the county engineer for our area, for the county, and gave it to our road maintenance chairman, and he looked at me and just well said, "You're stupid." And I've been a road grader operator for many years, so I disagree with him, so he doesn't get my help.
Now, on this, remember last year when we had some issues out there? Are we going to do a little bit better communication with the actual owners, the property owners out there? Weren't we going to send postcards and that kind of stuff?
That didn't have anything to do with the road work. That had to do with taking out the trees. And
right away?
Everybody was notified on that. Everybody knew it was going to happen. And we had no objections. It was done.
Okay.
Mike came out and did it, and he did a good job. He cleaned up his mess. Anybody who wanted a tree for firewood, he left it for them. But we do have a whole bunch of stumps. I'm not sure why we left all the stumps in, but I guess that's the way you do it. I don't know.
He cut them off pretty low, and the theory was that after that we could go through with some sort of a mower and mow the brush and the small seeds.
Well, now some of those stumps are like that. You're going to mow them.
Yeah, they're out the boat.
You take them under and tear them all out from stumps like that.
I didn't mean like a brush hog. I meant like one of those, like ODOT runs on the highway, the Bobcat with the chipper macerator on the front. But you're right, that it wouldn't go through with stumps like that.
They got a machine that would cut that rub, no problem at all.
When they did Kegel the year before, they left the stumps pretty high.
Yeah, because they make a variety of stump grinders to take.
Yeah, that's the word I was trying to think of. Yeah, and they grind them up real quick.
We had a track machine in Lane County that could go on a pretty steep slope grinding stumps, and it could take them down about that far below the surface of the dirt.
Yep.
I think that with the limited budget, and that you've had 100 years of no regulations, rules, or work, everyone has to just keep in mind, Rome wasn't built in a day, nor will Caden.
Right.
And so I look at it like, you're doing a good job. You started a grade, you know, a few years ago, snow plowing. Then 2 years ago, we started taking out some trees. There just isn't the money. You just got to realize that. There's just not the money to go in and do what Lane County does and to take. So if you think about 95% of those stumps, even if you widened out 5 feet on each side and added the width that you're talking and got another 10, 15 feet, probably 90% of the stumps are further out than that. You know, and so I think we just have to kind of take things in steps. And so now the next item there is the tree removal on the rest of the road. So at the end of this year, he might like to maybe do them all this year. If you guys, we have the money for that if he's got time. We did it in a 2 year, but if he wanted to do it quicker, we could. But basically, within 12 to 24 months, you'll have all the tree roads will be back pretty close to their right-of-way lines with minimal complaints, almost zero. That's a victory. And then you look at, okay, now then, once they're back, what I thought is maybe we pick a road to do what both our bookends here are talking about and all of you in the middle agree with, is taking a road and go ahead and let's fix it, widen it. Again, you know, take Cable Road maybe, because that's the main road you can go all directions off of. Maybe we bring it out to more of a county width, base it, culvert it, do that. Mm-hmm. See what that looks. Maybe it's 50, that could be a $50,000 project. Mm-hmm. You know, you get that one done. Then a couple, 3 years later, you maybe try to do one of the other, you know. And then those roads are then closer to when you ever decide if you're going to go pave Cable.
Yeah.
Because all that work has to be done. So you're kind of crescendoing it up
toward
a chip seal or something. And so, you know, but this is a decade of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And so just always, and I know you all know that.
Yes.
You know, but we really.
I'm just trying to keep an awareness level here.
Yeah, that's great.
And I wanted to bring something up that Scott was talking about. I know in the past we've assumed something was going to be done one way or at a certain time, and there was a lack of communication. So you're taking care of that now. A real clear understanding about what you expect from them.
It's in the contract.
I'm really,
that section.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we got enough in here, and it's just a, it was a 48-hour notice before any work could be, should begin. On the road grading, it's to coordinate between the road grader and the right-of-way clearing, so the right-of-way guy doesn't show up the day after
exactly.
The road grader guy.
Yes. Right, like what happened.
That's in the contract for both
of them. Good for you, Scott.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you
yeah.
so much. Because I think everybody wants to do a good job, but if you don't outline the expectations, then they let you down and it just isn't good.
Well, they so do the job of the stuff that's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And there's
not like they did in the past. Grade the road, then take the trees out. That was not great.
And better communication amongst all of us so we know when they're doing.
Good.
We can meet there on site beforehand so they know what we're expecting.
Yeah.
And we need to be the communication leader in that.
Yeah.
Good
and
job, Scott.
We'll send up, the notices will go out to all those people on the tree trimming.
Mm-hmm.
And
that went, I think, really well last year. I got one call. I went out and met with a lady, and she was just concerned to what was going to happen. I think Steve got a call, and Mike handled maybe one while he was out there. But you were right. Everybody seemed to know what the plan was. There weren't any major complaints. It just went very well.
I think that the first year, Doug, when we were got into that, I think you did. You know, we always kind of gave people the fudge factor. You know, we could make complaints out there pretty easy if you're running that chainsaw right up to the fence. But we gave them all. There's enough room. We gave them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, a little bit of a buffer. You know, I'm assuming that's what they did last time.
Well, on Pine Drive, they cleared. They only cleared on the east side. They didn't do anything. Cleared on the west side. They didn't clear anything on the east side. Because telephone poles are on the east side.
And they take
can't
care of
that state
there.
Pretty good. But they went all the way up to property lines on the west side. And they did a good job. Nobody complained. You know? The roads are being maintained. But when I first moved here, holy Columbus, it was four-wheel drive in the summertime, let me tell you. Let alone the snow.
And you better have chains on.
Yeah, that's right too.
One of those roads.
And if it rains, can hit it.
Okay, we're done with Cagle?
Yeah, and Mike Shields was a little bit on the tree clearing, so.
Okay.
And he wants to get started, so we may let him go.
How about the engineering contracts and reviews?
Well, we have got the bids, and you've got, there's a couple, we had two companies put in on that. Scott?
Two companies for the first RFQ for the Lapine Industrial Park water issue and the Wickiup Junction lift station. We have interviews scheduled with them tomorrow. And I need one more Public Works Committee member. We decided we wanted two.
We could take two.
And Doug agreed to do it.
What time?
9:00 in the morning.
I can't.
I got to work
tomorrow to go through. We can go with one.
And you're going to have somebody from the council will be there.
Yeah, I've got to find my council person.
So yeah, 9 in the morning we're going to do interviews. I'm guessing this tall gentleman here will be involved in that.
Good for you. Thank
see you tomorrow.
One other firm.
And is it, which one is it? The people from Northeast Oregon? LeGrand?
Yeah, Anderson.
We'll have both there.
Perry and also Century West.
I'll be there.
So you'll be our second.
Yeah.
Be there. Shop.
So
I'm sitting here thinking, now wait a second.
I'm on the payroll now.
I expect you to get back in the saddle here. So 9:00 down here?
Yep.
And then we received 5 RFQ or submittal of qualifications on our other request for our street improvement, sidewalk improvement out here in front of City Hall. And we haven't set a time and date yet for the interviews on that.
I'll work on that today and figure that out.
Yeah, we'll iron that out. It needs to be going pretty quick also.
Those interviews are, those RFQs are in a separate envelope
yep.
at your seats? Okay. And we'll probably do those interviews before your next meeting. So
yes,
we'll probably call Bill and Doug first and see if you guys want to participate in those.
Okay.
So we'll pick out, we'll come up with the one that the group kind of would like to work with, and then we negotiate with them on price and contract. That's
okay.
So what you're doing with these, like tomorrow, the price is being part of it. Yeah. So that's just kind of who you think would do the work and work with us and has the experience and the qualifications that you're looking for.
Do we have other projects that we're working on then, engineering projects?
Yeah, the well, the City Hall frontage, which will be opening.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on, we changed our bid on this a little bit when we put out the RFQ that Steve put out. We went and added it to other things. I base that off of things you guys have been talking about. One was because of this, I needed to change and broaden it. But then it was the some street lights over like in Huntington Meadows, and then you talked about sidewalks out by the senior center in that area, and then up by the park. Okay, so all of those ultimately need to be looked at and engineered. And so I broadened that out to where we could, whoever we select will be able to use, while they're out here doing things, they'll be able to go shoot some of that, tell us what's up. And when I looked at the budget that was given for our budget, we're working on the budget. So these projects were included in the budget because they came through, you guys had discussed them, right? And the, it comes back to this, things are more complicated than I think maybe was being,
right?
You know, well, maybe you, the concrete itself, if you were just go lay out concrete on the ground, is $5,000 or $6,000, but you know, when you put up a curb or a concrete, you've not created a dam. So then what do you have to deal with?
Drainage.
See, so it's, now if it's separated over enough and you're not going to curb it, then there may be enough, but nevertheless, a sidewalk is an obstruction to water. And you have to think through all that. You're going to have to calculate, is there enough room from the pavement edge to the sidewalk to hold the water that's going to come off the road? It's not just pouring concrete.
No.
I thought, especially when you get over on Huntington, where we're talking about that starts getting into a streetscape, the lights that have been put up here and there on Huntington, if we're going to pour sidewalks, that's usually when you're going to go start plotting for those things. You know, are you having curb-type sidewalks with drainage? Are we having the bioswale? Now, by the senior center, you have room for the bioswale. So, but we need to kind of start coming up with what this is going to be, or else we're going to end up with a checkerboard that meets no one's expectations. Costs are going to be out. They're going to put $5,000 down, and it's a $30,000 project.
Right.
So, but I think the difference is we'll get some numbers, or we'll be able to actually then go do some of these. You guys have been trying to get them to get done. You've talked about them for quite a while, but I think now then we'll get them engineered. We can bid them and build them, which is what you ultimately want.
Yes.
And so out here, we gotta get it. We'll use this more of our template because this is gonna be ahead of the first street thing. So what we wanna do is spend more time with whoever we hire to look into what kinds of trees, how are you gonna do the bioswale? Are you gonna have it all grass, partial grass? Do you put bushes in there? All of those things. Do you put lights at the trees or plug in at the trees because you wanna put lights? Do you wanna do that to every other tree?
Right. And do it now when we're planting the trees, not later.
Well, you don't want to dig the grass back up or the sidewalk.
Right.
So it all has to come in, which means your costs go way up.
Right.
But you do it. This is a good test, right? It's in front of City Hall. Then that's going to, and ODOT gets to review it. It's an ODOT grant. Then that will help drive the template down there.
Exactly.
And then if we find something here that needs to be tweaked, we can do it. So that's the plot.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Do it in the correct steps the first time.
Yeah. And then I think we can, you know.
The only suggestion I have is that when we actually get to do the sidewalks in town, is you get the ones that are hazardous first, which is just north of the U.S. Bank on that same side. You got roots pulling up the sidewalk. And I mean, you got about a 4-inch gap. You have somebody trip and fall on that, you know who they're gonna go after.
The deepest pocket.
Yep. So those things need, in my opinion, those things need to be done first. You don't want people tripping and hurt themselves.
Well, we can, Scott can look at some of those, if there's some that just need to be done where you just take out a section and, you know.
Yeah, it's just a small section that needs to be done.
Those are more maintenance that we could go do, right. Because before we're gonna get clear down there and redo sidewalks, it'd be years.
Oh yeah.
We could look at if you.
I wanna ask, do we have a recommendation or qualifications for the mix that you use in our area? Because you go to some place, it's all fine. You go to some place else that was put in at the same time, it's completely powder now and falling apart.
Well, that's not always the concrete structure. That could be if they're using salt on it or if they don't seal it. Mm. Because you can take salt and put over brand new or year-old concrete and it's going to deteriorate.
Yeah, but Preble and Carter Court have never had anything on them, and they're completely dust now.
That was all in the finish.
Okay, and that can happen.
They were finished.
So we've got you on top of this now. Is that another Scott job?
As much as I can. It was getting cold out, and they didn't blanket those sidewalks.
That's right. Wrong time of the year.
Froze the tops.
The top off the sidewalk.
Yep.
You got an unintentional exposed aggregate sidewalk.
Is there any sort of a warranty with that?
It was long gone before there was a city of Lapine.
Who overseen that for inspection? County?
Deschutes County.
I think it'd be worth our while to inquire to them as to why they didn't follow up on that.
And that's something else that I need to learn is, like Huntington is a county road, and are the sidewalks still county sidewalks?
That's a good question.
They won't be, probably.
You know, I don't know how much accepting of things that weren't the cities that are now the cities that we don't know about, or, I mean, is it our sidewalk to fix, or is it?
Well, there's a lot of issues.
I know.
Yeah. You gotta get more information. We do it all the drainage at first, and Huntington is the county.
Right.
And when they got called out, they took care of that one blocked one, so.
Yes.
Got to find out what else is this county.
Yeah, I think where you'll end up with that road is the county maintaining the roadway, mm-hmm. and then we taking care of everything else. You know, is where, and then we'll work with it. They'll work with us on the drainage because mm-hmm. they're going to build the drainage. Yeah. We'll help. But that's probably where I see that. I think everything from the curb in is going to be city. Is probably where that'll end up. Is kind of a joint deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are all the, you know, most cities, technically, the sidewalks are actually the responsibility of the business
or the
property owner. And so if U.S. Bank poured that sidewalk, and so if roots come up, they're supposed to technically fix it. Now, this was unincorporated when the U.S. Bank was built, and I, you know, so.
Okay.
Yeah, these are all things that will work out over time.
Yes, we will.
But if there's a problem out there, that's we can go out. If there's two or three places that have got what you're talking about, Jim.
Yeah.
We can go pretty cheap. You can go pour them. You know, get something.
Get the root out of the way. And
get the root out of the way. And
level again.
Yeah. So we just walk those sidewalks and see if the pro works. Take some photos.
Yeah. Just go north of the U.S. Bank. You'll see it.
Yeah, and those are all over in all cities. If you walk downtown Portland, I mean, they have it. So. Ongoing.
Any other engineering projects?
Well, that, I think, were the main ones. We were going to try to contribute some to help the county work on the two drainage projects, maybe there a little bit, just to kind of bait them along. I haven't been able to work on that.
We're talking about the post office on 3rd Street?
Yes. Now, you guys could do your issues, concerns, public comments, and things, then I will come back with some. I'm chair of the Oregon State Marine Board, and I have a 5-minute board meeting on the phone where we're voting on something.
Today?
Right now.
Oh,
I'm
right.
going to go do it. It's a 5-minute.
Okay.
So you've got other things there. A lot of these things came up quite a while before I was going to be here.
Okay, well, but there's some things that I want to address with
yeah.
you too, so
yeah, I'll
go
back.
Do your thing.
I'll do my thing.
Don't
if
forget
you want
to
take
back.
A line break.
Well, we can talk about public works up.
And he probably wants to try to say nice things.
Well, I'll be here tomorrow. Okay, saying nice things. Yeah, that's the plan.
Any other up, Ashley? Do you have anything updates that we need to know about? How many exact residences do we have
in city limits?
Inside the city limits.
Well, the sign says 1,493. I have no.
No, idea. That's residents. I'm sorry. I'm talking about households.
I don't know. I would have to learn.
Well, you get the average number in the household and divide it.
So we take that and divide it by three.
Yeah.
So that's how many people are. Well, how many people are hooked up to the sewer?
About 650. So obviously, I don't think you could divide that number by three. But could be five.
What about how many?
Same number for water too.
Hmm?
Same number for water also.
There's a couple that are hooked to sewer and not water.
Okay.
I want to say two maybe.
So, and then we've got how many businesses, commercial accounts?
Of those, about 175.
So it's 175 of the 650 are commercial mm-hmm. or business, and the rest would be residential.
Right.
I just want to know what your income base is when we're talking about all this stuff.
Okay.
How many people are actually paying for water and getting water? Okay.
Well, that's pretty close in numbers. If you
divide.
Subtract your businesses from the 650 and multiply those by three, that's giving you the almost the equivalent population.
So. Yeah, so that's a pretty good figure.
Pretty
Scott,
close.
Well, what the reason I say that won't work is no one in Cagle Acres is connected to water.
Right. That's why I only wanted the people that were on the water. Mm-hmm.
So
they're
that,
paying the
why
water
that number won't work.
Oh, okay.
Because you're talking half of our population that isn't connected to the water system.
Oh.
I just
maybe
want to
half
know how
third.
They're paying the rates right now, floating the water department. Scott, you got any other interesting things to talk about?
Not a whole bunch. We're out of the wintertime mode and into the summer and springtime mode in our public works.
How about mosquitoes?
Mosquito, you know, that contract's not in here. We did approve it's a one-year contract for the mosquito guy.
Same guy that drives around?
Same guy.
Does a good job.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the evening, a couple times a week, one's not doing it.
Are they going to start pretty soon? Because I was out in my lawn and shrub beds, and those little critters
yeah,
are out
yeah.
there.
Is it June 1st they're starting, or May last week?
It would have to be June 1st, I think. I think that contract's off to Jeremy for revision still.
Okay.
They awarded it, but they haven't signed it.
How many bidders did we have?
On the mosquitoes? There were three. We got three proposals, and one of them was, I guess you'd say, not qualified.
Okay.
So two.
All right.
Terminix, and I don't recall the name of the other. They were out of, I think, Chiloquin or Klamath Falls.
Okay.
And I, you know, by the time we got here in July, and before we knew it, they weren't spraying anymore. So I never really experienced anything that they were doing last year. Or even knew much of what was going on. So, but I understand there weren't a lot of complaints.
Well, we need to do one thing different this year.
On the mosquito?
On the mosquitoes.
Okay.
We need to, you need to publish when they're gonna be spraying that stuff in the neighborhood. So people know when, I don't want to be standing out in the front yard breathing that stuff when he goes down the road.
Yeah, you don't know when he's
yeah.
coming. Harry, you can hear him. Hear him down the street, and you make your mad dash for the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, we need, you need, all you need to do is publish a, he's going to come every Tuesday or whatever at 6 o'clock at night. So everybody has an idea what day and what time.
Oh, that's good.
You know, poor little 80-year-old grandma out there working in her vegetable garden, liable to fall over breathing that stuff.
Well, there's kids out and on the streets. I've seen him. He goes right around from them, and that stuff's
oh, yeah.
up in the air.
I mean, they say it doesn't bother anything, but I'm not buying that.
Well, but anybody can tell you that.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Well,
they're pretty
groovy.
I'm so glad you're here. Oh, we're new board members.
Where does this one?
No, that's a good point. I believe it's Wednesday night.
Advertiser, Wise Buys, Eagle.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Yeah, oh yeah. And put it on your website.
That guy.
That would help.
I have something else I'd like to bring up, and I've kind of talked to Arlo a little bit. When we had that wonderful meeting with ODOT, that open house, and I don't think we had anybody from the public, maybe one person. But we were running around with all those maps of things we'd like to see in Lapine. And the one person I really need to touch base with is Arlo, because they were talking about the big map. And the mayor said to me and to the, some
was
other
this
people.
Over at the community center?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that's right. You were.
Yeah, that was it.
But I mean, I don't think there was just any public people just came.
No.
So I wish, Mark, that we could figure out a good way to get public people to come in, maybe feed them, I don't know, whatever. But the mayor had asked, and we remember we went and we stuck up all these things where we wanted to see walkways and everything, and he had a really good point. If we would just, and Parks and Recs would be a natural one to help out on this, and we could do it with a subcommittee, come up with ideas, whether we do them or not. We may never have the money to do it, but if the grant money comes along like it did with Justin a few years ago, and there was like $45,000 for a sidewalk down here, but it wasn't on our big vision on the overlay, and we couldn't get the whole thing together in 2 weeks, so we missed out on that opportunity. And I think that's what the mayor was telling us. If we could just all put on there, you know, I'd like to see a walkway, a river walk. Is that ever going to happen? Probably never. But
a wish list.
A wish list, yes. And a trailhead and bike paths and all of this kind of stuff. So maybe I'd like to think about forming some kind of a subcommittee. We could get outside people to help us with that and just come up and put everything on there that we ever wanted to, because Kittleson didn't even know that we never told them.
Right.
That whole thing that we put about putting a port out there. You know, if there was ever free money, and there is a lot of free money to do that, we need to just probably put that on there, so if somebody later on wants to do it, they said they knew nothing about that because nobody had ever explained that to them. So that's, it's a wish list. It's exactly a wish list.
When it comes to bike paths, there's a group out of Sun River, and there's a group called BPAC. And this is a bicycle political action committee, as I recall.
Pedestrian advisory committee.
Advisory committee, thank you.
Yeah, bicycle pedestrian advisory committee. I said in the wings of that.
And they are interested in helping get a bike path situated from Lapine to Sun River. Sun River's already working on a path from there to Bend. And Tumalo's even working on a path from Tumalo to Bend. So this could all be tied together. The BPAC is a good place to start. I don't know the name of the outfit or the gentleman that in Sun River that, and he might be affiliated with BPAC too.
Likely. And it goes from there, it goes farther. So BPAC's vision, if I may just jump in, is to get from, to be able to get from Lapine to Smith Rocks.
Oh,
because
Smith Rock.
you've got Redmond's is getting their trail connections building. So every community is a part of BPAC officially, and then each community works within the Deschutes County and even the Tri-County, because you have the Oregon Scenic Bikeways. Mm-hmm. So BPAC will be a big part of that too. But that's the dream. So that's their wish list, their vision committee is
paths.
Bike paths all the way up
and
down.
Well, let me tell you, Lapine Park and Rec is acquired, and I forget how many red lots along the river that the county has given the Park and Rec District that we are using in to make a potential walking path along the river. These are lots that can't be built on.
I had no idea. I thought it was all owned by that one guy.
No. There's a lot of private lots on the Little Deschutes River, and I think we now have approximately 61 of these. So we don't have money to do a lot with them, but we have the lots to where if and when we have money, grant money, we can
grant
do something
money. Wouldn't
with
that be wonderful?
So That's just information for everybody.
Well, if I could follow up on what you were saying, I wanted to wait till Rick was back, but I don't have to wait that long. The city is working on a master plan, and the mayor has asked me to throw out to this group if we would also work on what he calls a street beautification project, and basically meaning what would we like to see, what do we want the city of Lapine to look like in as far as grass, trees, flowers, you know, that type of beauty type stuff. I know we've talked about this before, and we submitted, I personally submitted a bunch of stuff to Steve, and I guess it went around file somewhere, because nobody can find it anymore. So overall, and this is all, he stresses this is a long-term thing. This is not something that's gonna happen this year, maybe not even next year. But he would like us to come up with a plan of what we would like to see the 97 corridor and Huntington look like aesthetically, you know? And we don't want to look like Sun River, but we also would like to look a little better than what we look right now, yeah. I think, personally. So he asked me just to throw that out and see what we can come up with.
I want to throw something out in regards to that. I drive bus in a variety of ways around Central Oregon and around Oregon. And I'll tell you what, Eagle Crest and Sun River, Brasada Ranch, these are three places I've been in, and when you're driving a bus at night, they have the poorest lit street signs in the world.
Really?
And I'm not kidding you, it's hard to distinguish what the name is on there, because I was running a charter bus up, a shuttle bus up at Eagle Crest for the Coquille Indian tribe that had a conference going there. And I was all over Eagle Crest. When it got dark, if you didn't know what street was where, it was hard to find.
So we don't want those
kinds of things. I don't want that here in Lapine. I want somebody to take the initiative to show us what, with lighting, what those streets are. Because if we want to attract people, we don't want to attract them just in the daylight. We'd like to have them here at night too.
Yeah.
You know, we have businesses that are open till 8, 9, 10 o'clock, and some of them even later.
Well, and how about neighborhoods?
Well, that becomes a safety issue in neighborhoods. But
what do you think of Sun River's?
Horrible.
Horrible.
Sun River, Eagle Crest, Brasada Ranch are horrible. Sun River, I mean, if you don't get up there within 15, 20 feet of the sign, you don't know what road you're on unless you're in a roundabout. Now, when you're outside the roundabouts, it's a totally different ballgame.
Was that because they didn't want to bother the residents?
They don't
houses?
Want the bright lights to affect the people.
Okay.
So the roundabouts, is it because the signs are too small?
I think it's a combination of things, Tom. I think partly too small, and the roundabouts are better because in a lot of cases you can go in there with your bright lights on. And you can see that. With vehicles coming, of course, you can't. But it's the size of the signage, and it's also whatever lighting is available. And, you know, ODOT has minimum standards on their signs for out here, and I'm sure Deschutes County and the rest has. But our communities don't take that into perspective when you have people out and around. We want to attract people here. We need to do a better job.
Isn't it in the plan for the lights along 97 to be at intersections, to light up the intersections? Mm-hmm. My question is what's holding it up?
Why that's a question I'm going to ask Rick here in a little bit.
Well,
it's a combination of Mid-State and the City Council.
Okay. That's the holdup right now?
It's not this committee.
No, but everything's in the works except that agreement between you two, between Mid-State and the
okay. Well, as Bill and I were talking, it was approximately a year ago we authorized this stuff to go through.
Right. Then the money's there.
My biggest question is why hasn't it been done?
Well, part of it is they don't want to spend the money for the lights that we put down here on Huntington Road. That they're a lot more expensive. So we're looking at Sun River's lights as an alternative.
But we're having problems with Sun River's lights right now. They're rotting off and falling over.
Look, they're using a lot of wood posts.
And it's the type of, it's not the wood. It's the treatment that they use on that.
And you only allow certain types of treatment anymore.
I understand. So right now, Mid-State is exploring other options, and, you know, if we want to use the center of the streetlights, we don't want to use their existing streetlight.
You can use the light, but are there options for bulbs for these lights?
In fact, I'm exploring LED fixtures, which is a lot brighter.
Because Sun River's lighting, when you're there at night, is not great. Go up there and travel around and pick an address in an off-the-wall place and go find it.
Not at night.
And I'll tell you, Eagle Crest has really got a problem because they put one address sign out in front of the house and the one up on the house is a different number. And you don't know what to go by. And they'll tell you at the hotel when you're a bus driver, you need to know both of those. That's frustrating, okay. Jim, but it's a map.
You wonder who the heck the guy was that did this.
And why is he still working there with the money?
out of all of these projects that were approved out here, the street lights, the sidewalks, everything, the council has put everything on hold except this. And why they've done that, I really don't know the answer to that, but everything else is not going anywhere. For whatever reason, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And why they're doing that, I don't know, but that's the facts. That's the absolute fact. They're not going to do anything this year except this right
now. Then
that's it.
Well, at least for the next, I think,
nothing
3 months.
This year?
Until they get wood on the streets out in here.
Why in the devil are we authorizing projects then if they aren't going to do them?
Well, I believe the intent actually.
One of the reasons we're doing this project as priority is if we don't do it by September 30th, we lose the money for the project.
Yeah, lose the money, yeah.
You don't want to do that.
The intention was always there to do it. And some of the non-doers.
I mean, how long does it take to do anything?
With the government? A long time. There's so many rules and regulations you got to go by.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
But a year to put up 6 illumination lights, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable.
They approved 8.
We're fighting now, you need to come back quick.
And I have a question for you.
Oh, good.
I'm waiting for you to get back. A year ago, we talked about this bird mess out here in front of City Hall. And it's still there. Is this ever going to get fixed?
I don't know. It probably will not be fixed as me as an interim, so.
You got to remember, he's a messenger at this point.
I know, we're all just.
I know you are. That's going to be a bitch regardless.
How much does it cost to call Perry Welders to come out here and put screens up to keep them birds out of there? They did it at the senior center one afternoon. I mean, what's the big deal here?
The only thing is you can't do anything right now while the birds are there. You gotta wait till they're gone, then knock the nest down and put screens up.
It's only been a year.
They went and looked, they were gonna have soffits covered, you know, you could do, make it look good and everything. This building has a lot of shapes.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, they're gonna be pretty creative and, you know, they've been coming down and cleaning it off every couple days or something.
Yeah, every morning.
Every morning. And
is that the truck that was out here this morning?
That just, you know, part of being able to buy.
No, we're not going to buy that.
No, I think we will. It's something that would be nice to do to have that and reduce it and eliminate it. So, and what did you have to do while I was away?
Complain.
You don't want us to go backwards, trust me.
We want to know why the streetlights aren't up. The illumination streetlights that we authorized Steve to put up about a year ago, and Tom said that it's partly Mid-State and it's partly the city.
Yeah, we don't have a contract yet with the city for it.
We were going to have some engineering done over in Huntington Meadows on that. But when we hire our engineer, then what we'll do is have them go talked with Mid-State to see what was up with all of this. I mean, I don't know any.
We authorized 8 lights at certain intersections. And Huntington Meadows is out of the picture.
That doesn't have to do with those.
So Bill's very frustrated. I'm very frustrated. And if the city council is holding us up, why are we even here?
Oh, they're not. They're not.
Well, don't we have a little problem with not enough money to do everything that everybody wanted done? No, I mean, we've got this too, but I mean, it's like Kegel. The reality is, and a lot of stuff that was promised out there, there just isn't the money.
We don't want to get into that.
No, I know that, but I meant, when you stop to think that we have 650 people paying taxes here, how far does that go for everything? I think we don't have hundreds and millions of dollars coming in here. So I understand the frustration of working on something, and we worked on it every single meeting.
I don't believe that money was the issue.
For the lighting.
We've been told that those lights, money was budgeted, appropriated, and Tom has helped us out here on some of that.
I've also dragged my feet on some of it, and I'll be the first to admit it. I've been gone for more than 6 weeks in the last 5 months, so it just made things tough. We have to get with the city and negotiate a contract, and the contract we have was a three-party contract, which doesn't work, but...
So, basically, this is where... that's what I was trying to say earlier about the sidewalks. I think Osada's going to be able to go out there and watch sidewalks get poured. And what you're saying is you want to see a light go up.
Yep.
I want
to see 8 of them.
Yeah. And what I have to do is go back and figure out where it is you want it, what you were looking at, work with
Bill that. Knows.
Well.
In other words, what you're saying, let's start over at square one.
Not really. In other words, I'm saying is you guys have picked those places.
Right.
But I have to get myself into it.
We were.
And then
they authorized 2 more over here in the subdivision. Okay. Behind, over there.
Yeah. No, I know the information exists.
Yeah.
I mean,
you just have to familiarize yourself with bring yourself up to date on what we did.
We know we got other work that has to be done first.
That's what I want you to know is that, you know, first of all, you've had a change of leadership.
Yep.
And that means there's different styles, different all kinds of things.
We've had a change of leadership at Mid-State too, so
that's true. I forgot about that. You're right.
So for me, that's why we went and altered our bids for the engineering was because I knew you were talking about some things. I think that maybe you're frustrated because you've had a year of discussing things, but what wasn't happening always was the next steps and the next steps. That's not my style. So I may say, hey, we can't do all this, but the ones that you come up with that we say everyone agrees we can, they'll get done.
One question I haven't heard from this group today is, how are we doing on looking for a new city manager?
Well, we haven't started that. I've only been here a week.
He left the 19th. Where have you been?
No. I'm sorry. I'm picking on you, Rick.
No, like we haven't begun that.
Okay.
What you're going to see right now, and these two, because they've heard me, that we are, for the next 60 days, basically, other than these engineering things we're working on, while they're out doing their things, but the work will be internal. And to a degree, you can call this as internal. I guess it's working. You're going to see not new ideas and not all kinds. We need to take a step back and get things in place.
Exactly.
We now you're the public work, so you know we assumed sewer and water from the districts. But we still have the districts, say, resolutions and ordinances and ashes and others. So that doesn't sound like, but there actually are issues with all of it. we are still just now trying to get the $2.5 million of loans transferred from the USDA in the city's name. When I went over to Midstate last week to get some things I needed, and the bills were still coming in the district's name. Well, the districts don't even exist, you know, so I had to authorize them. It's $25. We got 8 accounts or something. It's like $200 to have these all transferred. So I think what happened was we did a great job of where the customer walks in and comes up to a counter and pays their bill. That's handled and went very well.
And things get by the bird.
The customer pays their bill. Everything beyond that, a lot of everything beyond that has not happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever reasons that all is what it evidently was. And so I got to refocus back. I'll give you an example. One, I had an accountant come in, and we sat here and we started going through things. And we found, just by her looking at the audit from 2 years ago, or from the district's audit, and then going through our bank accounts, says there's a bank account or two missing. One had been closed, and that was about $10,000, and that had, she ultimately found that it was coded in, not where you would normally have it, but that was located. But then we had this missing almost $200,000 from the sewer funds that is in a separate bank account that never had been reported in anything in the city. So financial statements given to the council, none of that was ever in there. So then I had to go track down through the bank, go to Ben, to the regional managers, and hunt down, because they don't give information just to other people on other people's bank accounts. So they were in the name of the districts. All those things, that's why I say, yes, they found it. It's $178,000, $180,000, and in about a week, that's going to be transferred to the city. It will now show up on our financial statements as an asset to the sewer district.
Good.
I could go on.
Right.
How about the Ashton Eaton Parkway signs?
I'm doing money and stuff. I'm trying to get the money. I mean, that's...
We're getting going on that.
Just let me continue. Finish.
Okay.
You're gonna have to understand. I'll be more blunt with you guys. It's a fact.
That's fine.
This stuff needs some work, and my job is to come in and do that. And we are going to get financial statements that are accurate, and we're going to have a budget that's accurate, and we're going to have systems in place. So when you approve a project, it happens. Before I sat building the house without a foundation.
Yeah.
The things you need to accomplish stuff. So we go out, we get all, say, take an Ashton Eaton. So we go through all that, we get the photos, and people are standing on mm-hmm. on the pole with an Ashton Eaton sign on photo day.
On the ladder.
But there's no, then, you
it's
know,
all
the,
over.
The,
wow.
We haven't gone through, and so we need to do less, but do what we start out to do.
And do it well.
And that's why, you know, the trimming of the trees, hey, he can do it in 1 year, and we got the bucks, let's get it done. And so you're gonna have to work with me, but the next 60 days is finance and budget, and taking care of the immediate things that have to be done. And Ashton Eaton signs do need to go up, and I actually said last week on that. But I can only do so much with all these things, and by law, I have to get the budget done.
What I have seen happen here is that we start getting projects proposed, but we aren't following up to make sure some of these projects get completed.
That's right.
Or started. Mm-hmm. And we need to finish some of these that have been proposed before we even propose any more.
That's why really you don't need to come up with any new ones.
I think it's real, real important that all of us understand what Rick is saying.
Exactly.
What he's saying is the truth.
Yes.
Nothing's going to get done for a while, and we're all going to have to understand that it's not, and we're going to have to be patient, and we're going to have to understand why. It will, sooner or later, get worked out. I mean, when I was on the council, you were the city manager, and you got a lot done. But now you got more to do. You probably got more to do than you can handle. And look,
yeah, we'll work through
you
it.
You know, look, it's just like I'm on the planning commission. What does the planning commission do? We meet once a month, and we don't do nothing. We can't do anything because we don't have anybody here that can run that yet. So we have to be very patient. It's hard to do. I like to see things done. I like to see them done. We approve them today, let's do them tomorrow. That ain't the real world. It isn't going to happen.
Not with
the
government.
So we're going to have to be, let Rick do his job. We can put all these things together. We can have all these ideas. We can beautify the city on paper. We can do all this stuff. But until everything else gets straightened out, nothing's going to happen. And we're just going to have to live with it and understand it and be happy with it. Because that's the way it's going to be. Ain't going to be any different.
Well, I
want to
thank you, Rick, for coming back and taking this on again.
Well, it's going to be fun. For other issues involving your kind of thing, you know, Bill, the water rate study. And that guy didn't come here, but they probably gave it to you. When they gave a presentation here probably on the water rate, or Steve talked about rate increases for water. Mm-hmm. Did that come here? At some point?
Yes.
It did.
It
was a preliminary. The first
Marco
presentation
came.
Was here. Yeah, Chris
that
came
was
here.
An old
and then, in December, and then you gave the final in March.
Yeah, I mean, our proposed budget 3 weeks ago had a $100,000+ rate increase put into the water water rates. Well, that's a long process and everything else, so you know, I'm removing that from the budget.
Please.
But there may need to be a water rate increase, but the study has the information he used in it was not relevant to the city's costs, and so all of these things, and it's just kind of trying to back up, you know, before we just charge off on things.
Well, and something else was brought up, and this is going to involve Scott too. It was very alarming for me at the last meeting to find out that we need to be looking at buying water rights. I would like to have a really good background, I'm sorry Scott, from Scott and anyone else about what is our standard system? How much water can that pump out? How deep is it? Blah, blah, blah. If we go ahead and we bring Cagle on and half of the amount of people that build out for Crescent Creek and maybe another 200 over here at Huntington, what are we looking at here?
We need water rights every day of the year. We need to be looking for water. There'll never be a day if we have all that there is that we won't need to look for more water.
But sometime could we, after your 90 days, or maybe just to keep us busy in the meantime, have a little presentation.
Absolutely.
I don't want to take it up today about what you started with, what was the vision then, how many capacity, and if we all have to beautify our lawns and all this kind of stuff, what are we really looking at?
Absolutely. We can put that together. We can put something together that has actual metered usage of what we're pumping and what we're selling, where the water's going.
Didn't you have, we were talking about other cities and what their minimum was, and
I want to go over
because
that.
Because I'm already here. We are in May, and I'm already over. And I water
and
my lawn every
watering.
Other day, and I'm already over usage. There's something wrong here. I'm just trying to make my lawn look, my house look nice. And I'm being penalized, having to pay more for my water.
More accurate figures than we had on that
maybe
other
maybe we're not getting our minimum. We should raise the minimum for that price and then charge more for over it.
But I want to know how much water we can get out of these artesian wells on Finley Butte that we're getting our water from now. And when we need to, I mean, yes, and we actually, we need to start looking at water rights because he alluded to the fact the price is always going up because there's only 3 people we can buy from.
Yeah, or less. And we're allowed a maximum rate of 1,000 gallons a minute. We can pump it 24 hours a day, but that's the maximum amount, our maximum withdrawal of our water right is 1,000
gallons. Well, that's all we have the right to draw.
That's all we can pull.
And storage then becomes.
Right.
See, if you can store water when you're not using it and all that.
Well, let's take it down to a little grade school level, and if you could present that.
Well, not
even in this.
What we need to do is that's a good winter discussion. I think you guys don't get nervous if you don't always have something to vote on and do. Right. And in fact, I would say a lot of committees like this, you take July and August off if you need to. In other words, it's an advisory thing. I would say, I'm going to go back and look at the things you've wanted and talked about, and I know what they are. Sidewalks, the street lights and things. So, and between the first street signal coming on and this project, and then the transportation STIP thing in the middle, really for the next year, we're going to cut the trees in Cagle, we're going to continue grading, we're going to have two projects at each end of town that are going to involve, we're going to have to look at some street lights and what kind of lights we want out here, so we'll have some things. But as far as new stuff, don't worry. Just let this kind of, let us finish these things you got going. But I think a broader, since we have a rate study that says we need to go up huge on rates, according to their study, and the audit a little bit shows, but the districts the last year were actually losing money in water. We inherited at their operating costs, according to Chris Marco, was short $100,000 a year. And I think that that's independent people looking at it. It's not any of us blotting that. So, and when you look at the audit, you can kind of see that there's some truth to that. Now, we fund depreciation, so it's a very complicated discussion. I think we need to look at, start from the beginning on water, usage, water rights, the things Bill just brought up about overages. Mm-hmm. There's some inequities where commercial is actually subsidizing residential, according to Marco. It's probably true. So there'll be some information that not every board member here is going to like. And then what we should do is come up with a recommendation next end of winter, mm-hmm. to say if rates need to go up a couple bucks a month or something to help buy water rights and stuff, and you're going to become the ambassador. You know, you can wish these things away, but they don't just go away.
Right.
So you can either bury your head, but we need to have a full thought out thing, and SDCs with water, all of that. So I think we'll have plenty to do, but it's going to be more of finishing the projects you've already debated. And then I think getting into the water rates and the water rights.
I don't think we have a big problem of looking for new projects. I think we're frustrated that we've got projects we were told we're going to get done and have not been started. So that's kind of the frustration from my standpoint. And, you know, everybody's style is different. I like your style of wanting to get things done. So I hope the council takes into consideration when they hire a new city manager some work history, work ethic, etc. Just because somebody is here 10 or 12 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week, doesn't make them a good, efficient worker. Because there's people that can be here 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and get more done. I'll get off my soapbox now.
And we're glad to see you.
Well, you have, yes. That's why we're here.
Yes, we are.
We'll give you a 90-day break.
Well, I was going to take it because we got to know where we are financially.
Absolutely. Right?
Then I'd like to be able to take it, see how much, because one thing about it, these last couple of years, we've been able to build up some reserves in there, so it's a little easier to go out and pick some projects we'll be able to do.
Right.
And,
we want to get to the place where we've got a lot of ideas out there, so, and put them on that big overlay for the city. We talked about that too. I'm going to try and work with Arlo, and he's got some fantastic stuff going that he's knowledgeable about with Parks and Recs, especially my river walk. But I mean, just get it on there. I mean, I'm just, whoa, because I never thought that was possible. But just get that on there in case the grant money is here, because it comes and goes in 2 weeks, and if we can't put a recommendation or request together, we lose out on that free money. We don't want to lose any free money.
Well, and some of that money is actually available at a different date. It's just that when we found out about it, we had a 2-week window,
yeah,
and
right.
That's too late. So, you know, some of these grants can start in November and don't expire until March, for example.
Right.
But if you find out about it the first March and you've got to have it done by the end of March and you've got other work to do, chances are it's not going to get done. Because it does, you can't just write a grant today and send it in tomorrow.
Well, doesn't it have to be identified on some plan somewhere?
Well, usually you need to identify that stuff, yes.
And then remember, no, we don't just public works. He mentioned the planning commission he's on. Well, you know, they voted, Gloria and Doug voted that we were supposed to take on planning July 1.
Yeah, boy, did we get shot down on that?
You know,
it threw us right out the window.
We guys keep saying we haven't learned to run the software systems that we have yet. We haven't converted. One of the things that we haven't converted from the Cassell system, we never converted sewer and water into our bookkeeping system. So what's been going on, you have the billing side of it, which is actually, you know, you get your little card and you think with your bill. But that's all been on the system we inherited. But then, once you pay your bills, it gets into more of the accounting side of things. Paying for things and keeping track of it. That was still being done in the QuickBooks system that came from the districts. But the city has a municipal big accounting system, and some water bills were paid out of it, some were paid out of the district system. So if you could produce a financial statement here, they were producing them, but one came out of QuickBooks, which would maybe have some expenses and some income, and then you go over to call the other side of the house, the general side, and you'd have expenses and no income. Then we have to then go get the Cassell billing system, which requires we have to migrate all the accounts and years of history of all the customers. When this is all said and done, we'll be able to take your Visa bills and debit cards and do all these things, and it'll be an integrated system, and you don't manually move numbers around. You know, when you come in and pay your bill, it'll get recorded into our system, and it'll actually, you'll have good records of everything. That we're working on. Well, to take on planning and building, you need a software system. When someone comes in, you want to put up a barn, you have to come in and apply. You have to have, what's the cost for the building permit or the planning fee? You have to have a fee schedule, which requires resolutions. You went out and you hired a code enforcement officer to enforce city codes, but the codes aren't really in effect yet, and you don't have any system to, so we hired a person. The handyman that they hired, or they didn't hire him, but they put an ad out. So you hired this person, and their job description is code enforcement. Well, that person's called me and wants to know when he starts. I says, well, we don't have a code to enforce.
Right.
You put a guard in front of the horse.
So I've told him no, we'll come back to that another day. But it's all of that. So
right.
We're working on this. I got to get the planning system up. That's going to come in the fall, hopefully. But you got to have an application you can fill out. Then we got to have a software system we can key it into, because you know you always get lawsuits on planning stuff. You can come to court 3 years later. It can ultimately go to the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. You've got to have everything dialed in. Attorneys want copies. You have to, when they apply, you got 90 days to respond, not 92 because we were late. If you don't respond, they get it.
Yes.
You cannot deny them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything has, we our Deborah McMahon, our planning consultant, we have no contract with her, it's expired. Well, we're going to take on planning and building now. We need a 3 or 5 year agreement. We need to have an RFQ like we're doing for the services you're doing with the engineer, so that people will then come in. We'll end up with a, that's why I say it's really internal work that needs to be done, so that whoever you hire can walk into a place that can, and we got the cart ahead of the horse on some things. We took in sewer and water, and like I say, they paid their bill to counter, and then I think went on to other shiny objects. So I hate to be the stick in the mud.
No, that's good, because we need that information that we haven't received in the past right. like that to let us know what's happening. I think that I appreciate what you've just said.
I'll communicate with you guys. I mean, we'll, you know, we've got two or three committees, and we'll, because I need you to be ambassadors out there for the department, for all of us. You know, with Lori gone, we don't have a finance department. So we've had to, you know, when it comes to do a paycheck, when it comes to all these things. But we've got that working pretty good. Ashley has stepped up a lot and has helped me a ton. We've actually got a pretty good system going. And so we will have, and I'll have good financial statements. The QuickBooks is no longer, right?
No. The QuickBooks, if you could shred it, it would be shredded.
Yeah. And because it's kind of like, you're never going to learn, if you can always go back to your comfort zone, and that's what happened over the last year, because that was easy, because you know how to do it. So then you go work on Cassell, you key in some things, and then you get stuck. Something just wouldn't work. You run back to QuickBooks.
Smooth it over, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so what we've done is, as of a week ago, there is no QuickBooks. And guess what? You're going to learn Cassell. And you're going to operate in Cassell. And we're going to hire the staff and the people that can make that all work. That's how you'll make the conversion. And but it's just taken some time. At the middle of the budget is out. We have a budget. We by law have to have that done.
Right. Yep.
It's coming up.
And so since you didn't have financials, that were difficult to kind of understand. How do you build a budget? So the rest of this week, I'm going to we'll only be working on the budget, actually. You won't see me. It'll be on budget and finance. And ultimately, don't you think the public, that's probably, at the end, pretty damn important.
Very important, yeah.
Because how can you go out and talk about raising rates if you can't produce an accurate financial statement?
Right.
That type of stuff. So it's kind of, we have to do this. Then we can start on to stuff.
Okay. I'm glad you gave us a heads up and real honest about it, because I think that's what we want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you gave me a year's worth of projects.
So Rick, when will you have time to come over to Mid-State and sit down and work on that?
I'll send you an email. Okay. I think what we'll do is wait, we'll pick our engineer, because I'm going to bring our engineer over on part of it. Because in some cases, you know, I haven't quite figured out quite how your what your plan was on that. And I think most of these streetlights were not what I would call in the decorative area, or are they some of both?
There's some of both, yeah. And that's the problem, you know. I can get the prices down to where I had them if we're buying large quantity of decorative streetlights, but if we start mixing and matching, then the costs go up, and I can't get a new general manager to go out there and buy 30 of them to sit in storage for 5 years.
You know, and that's, you know what, we need to probably just buy what we're going to put up. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you can save money buying 10 loaves of bread, but if you're only going to eat one of them. You know, the freezer burned ones are only good for so long. So, it's just a cost of doing business. If they're $500 more or $1,000 more for the light, if the big picture, that's, you know, if we're only going to buy 10 of them, we need to buy 10 and get them up. To fool around waiting for 30, they're stored out in the yard.
Mm-hmm. No. Not good.
Well, and I don't think the city needs to rely on somebody else to store them. Even though we, the city, do not have a facility to store them.
Well, over there, Public Works.
I just don't.
Whole building.
Cities don't. Generally, this is something, you know, from my experience, if we're going to go put in 10 now and do some over in Huntington Meadows, that's the project. And that's what you buy.
Right.
You don't store inventory of, because as soon as you think that's the light you want, they're going to say, you know, because you go to Huntington Meadows, you have the silver traditional street light that's a stainless steel or whatever they are, steel. You know, you get out on Huntington, you've got those Acorn lights, which works great in a little downtown. 97, out here on the sidewalks, we may not want the stainless steel looking one, but you don't want the acorn. You may want one with an arm that has a little decker. Mm-hmm. So 97 has a look. Huntington has your downtown look,
right.
And subdivisions have
a different look.
Your traditional look.
Yeah.
So we can end up with three different lights, but we need to come up with what those are, and that becomes our standard. And some of them could be on a system that literally we pay monthly to Mid-State based on power use. It could be a system where there's actually a meter and you got seven or eight of them in a row because we're going to put a tree. When you put plugins for the trees,
changes you.
It usually, it's usually on one circuit.
Wow.
It's going to be metered.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't paying Mid-State by the month. But right, you know, and you go to Huntington Meadows, are those going to be all wired together with a meter, or are you going to just calculate the usage, hook them up when you're going to have five or six of them in there? Are we just running the Mid-State wire up in them, or?
Well, the way we were looking at it was all going to be Mid-State owned and operated, and you just pay a calculated monthly fee.
And that can work. See, and that's what a lot of PPNL does that.
Yeah.
But it depends on, in some situations, yes and no. So that's, I definitely want to sit down and talk to you.
What else do we have left to do?
I want to thank Tom for sitting through all this every single month.
No kid.
He's hoping to get a job now.
Happy to be here. Yeah, well, it is important. I mean, Rick's pointed it out, and you all know, obviously, I'll be here tomorrow with the interview along with two others from Century West. And, yeah, it's important for us to know, for me to know personally, what you go through on your every meeting and to know the background of all these projects and how they fit into that greater picture. So we'll be here tomorrow talking to, you'll hear the same and more.
Well, I appreciate your input earlier about this because that helps out.
Oh, BPAC Advisory Committee. It's exciting to see.
I know
that
I've been to one meeting for the Park District on that, and I happened to come in a little late, and I didn't understand everything went on, and you clarified some of it. So thank you.
Right now.
So we'll be back here in a month, but then two of you tomorrow, 9 a.m. And then
we'll be in here.
Yeah. Then we'll here in a couple weeks. We'll interview the sidewalk folks. We'll get them going on this thing,
mm-hmm.
so that we get this done.
Got a lot to do.
Well,
we're
heading into.
Motion to end the meeting.
I'll make that motion.
1 second. All in favor?
Aye.
Good job.
I'm going to go back to the next one.